Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We welcome you to this most auspicious occasion of the welcoming of these beautiful Radha Krishna deities. I will read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that discusses the process of deity worship. Deity worship is very mysterious. We have statues that appear to be made of metal or wood or stone, but we worship them as if they were alive. And that is a very mysterious. It is so confidential that there are sects in India who make it a focal point of their philosophy to decry deity worship. And there's so many other misconceptions about deity worship. Even those who do not criticize it, they have a different idea that, in the beginning you worship the form, and then when you're more advanced, you go beyond the form and emerge and become one with some formless light. In fact, I would venture to say that many people who come to temples do not come in the mood of pure devotional service, but they come in some other mood. So, our hostess tonight, Pragya Patel, as a child, her parents brought her to the ISKCON temple in Brooklyn. And so she grew up, worshiping the deities, seeing the worship of the deities of Radha Govinda, and became very attached to them, in a very devotional mood. So I'll read this verse, which in a way presumes a basic understanding of Krishna and deity worship. And it will give us a sense of what the process of deity worship involves. Now this verse is in the second canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, called Pure Devotional Service. And there are a series of verses that describe a person who's not engaged in devotional service as being dead. The limbs of a person who does not engage his limbs in devotional service are useless. So this verse relates to deity worship and pilgrimage. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 te nayane jaranam vrindani vishnor nanarikshato ye adoninam to drumajanma bhajo chatrani nanu rajato harerio. Please repeat. Bariyate.
Bariyate.
Like plumes of a peacock.
Like plumes of a peacock.
Te.
Te.
Those.
Those.
Nayane.
Nayane.
Eyes.
Eyes.
Naranam.
Naranam.
Of men.
Of men.
Lingani.
Lingani.
Forms.
Forms.
Vishnu,
Vishnu,
of the personality of Godhead,
of the personality of Godhead,
na,
na,
does not,
does not,
nirikshita,
nirikshita,
look upon,
look upon,
yay,
yay,
all such,
all such,
padau,
padau,
legs,
legs,
rinam,
rinam,
of men.
Of men.
Tau.
Tau.
Those.
Those.
Druma Janma.
Druma Janma.
Being born of the tree.
Being born of the tree.
Bajau.
Bajau.
Like that.
Like that.
Chetrani.
Chetrani.
Holy places.
Holy places.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Anuvrajita.
Anuvrajita.
Goes after.
Goes after.
Hare.
Hare.
The Lord.
Of the Lord.
Yao.
Yao.
Which.
Which.
Translation. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs that do not move to the holy places, where the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. Please repeat. The eyes which do not look,
the eyes which do not look
at the symbolic representations,
the symbolic representations
of the personality of Godhead Vishnu,
of the personality of Godhead Vishnu,
his
forms,
name,
name,
quality,
quality,
etc.,
etc.,
are like those,
are like those.
Printed on the plumes.
Printed on the plumes.
Of the peacock.
Of the peacock.
And the legs.
And the legs.
Which do not move to the holy places.
Which do not move to the holy places.
Where the Lord is remembered.
Where the Lord is remembered.
Are considered to be.
Are considered to be.
Like tree trunks.
Like tree trunks.
So peacock feathers have an image that looks like an eye. But can that eye see anything? No, it's useless. So the eyes that do not look at the deity form of the Lord are useless. But the eye is printed on a peacock plume. And the legs that do not carry us to holy places of pilgrimage where the Lord is remembered are compared to tree trunks. How useful are tree trunks in moving? From one place to another. They're useless. So those legs that do not carry us to holy places where the Lord is remembered, to temples where the Lord is glorified, I like tree trunks, useless. In other words, if you're not engaged in devotional service, your life
is useless. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Especially for the household devotees. How many of you are householder devotees? How many of you live with householder devotees? Children. Most of us. Especially for the householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. As far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu. Forms like Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram especially, or any other form of the Lord, like Nishinna, Varaha, Gornitai, Matsya Korma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu, like Trivikram, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudev, Narayan, and Damodar, as recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas. And one's family should worship strictly following the directions and regulations of Archana Vidhi. So this is a very important point that we don't, in any aspect of devotional service and in particular deity worship, we don't make up our own system or whimsical ways when actually I was among the first devotees from ISKCON to go to Madras, and we were staying at different homes. We didn't have any temple, we were just going for the first time. And so we came to one home that hosted us for a while. They even hosted Srila Prabhupada when he came. And the deities were clothed completely in black, which seemed odd. No decorations at all, just black. So we asked our host why. And he said that that the effulgence of the deities is so bright that it blinds them. So he has to cloak them in black. So we also noticed that he didn't bow down. So we asked him why. And he said that, you know, he considers the deity to be his child. So he doesn't bow down to his child. So he was very, he had a strong tendency to speculate. And finally, when Srila Prabhupada came, many things happened. But one day, he and his wife came to Srila Prabhupada, and a number of disciples in the room. And he said, Swamiji, my wife and I request you, please recite about Rasalila. And Srila Prabhupada replied that one cannot really hear about Rasalila when he is materially attached. he has to be liberated from material attachment. And the gentleman insisted, and it's like he didn't hear exactly, like he didn't hear what Prabhupada said. He said, "Swamiji, my wife and I humbly request you, please speak about Rasalila." And then Prabhupada repeated the same point, and this time it was like sort of glancing at the pictures of the couple's son and, you know, all the different manifestations of their family attachment, and still, they, you know, you get into Swamiji, my wife and I humbly request you, please recite Bhava Rasalila. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Well, you may be qualified to hear about Rasalila, but I don't feel I'm qualified to speak. So please excuse me." But there's another very interesting event that took place. Many interesting events took place while we were staying at that house. But there was a man in Madras. You know, as we were going around, people would tell us, "You must meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's very pious." So, you know, so many people were saying it, so I made an appointment, and he immediately agreed to meet us. And he was of the opinion, strongly held and cherished opinion, that Shiva was supreme. So, you know, he's saying Shiva was supreme, I was saying Krishna was supreme, and the argument escalated. And he was a very volatile type of person, like that really red in the face, and he's like very agitated. And, you know, he's raising his voice. I raised my voice. And it ended up, you know, very badly. So, anyway, it happens sometimes. But still, I was going and meeting people. "Oh, you have to meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's so religious. He'll really like you." And so many people were saying that. I thought, well, maybe I should try again, but I'll just try to do it differently this time. And I think he must have also been hearing the same thing. All the Hare Krishna devotees are here. They're doing so much for Sanatana Dharma, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, you know, you'll really appreciate that. So when I phoned him, he readily agreed. I thought, okay, well, he's hearing about us, we're hearing about him. And he also probably doesn't want it down the same way, so I went again. And pretty much went the same way as the first time. Except that I didn't want it to end that way. So we were saying, you know, Shiva, I was saying Krishna. And I was praying, like, what to do in this situation. And then I got an insight. I said, "Mr. Ramakrishna, I'm just a student. I really don't know that much. But my guru, Srila Prabhupada, is going to be coming to Madras. So why don't you meet him and discuss with him?" And that was really a good solution, because he would get to meet Srila Prabhupada, and this is a big thing, you know, to meet Srila Prabhupada and speak with Srila Prabhupada. And so we ended it on that note. So when we were staying at Mr. Balu's house, so Mr. Ramakrishna came, and he said, he told Srila Prabhupada, I've been discussing with your dear Raj, who is supreme. He said, Krishna is supreme, and I said, Shiva is supreme. And Srila Prabhupada was so intelligent and so tactful that he did not enter into the discussion of that question as it was framed by Mr. Ramakrishna. Rather, he said that there are two words, puja and bhakti, or puja and seva. And in puja, one worships the deity with the motive of getting something in return. Whereas in bhakti, one serves the deity only for the sake of giving pleasure to the deity, not to get anything back. So he said, we're interested in bhakti, not in puja in that sense. And, generally, people go to Shiva to get something material in return. Whereas we go to Krishna only to serve Him and please Him. So Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, wouldn't it be possible to worship Shiva in the mood of bhakti without wanting anything in return? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it's possible. Just like one could go to a liquor shop with some other motive besides buying liquor. But generally, if someone goes to a liquor shop, it's understood that they're going to buy liquor. But there could be an exception. So then Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, what if someone did worship Shiva in that mood of bhakti? And Prabhupada said, that would be fine. That would be fine. And I know people who did worship Shiva, not to get something in return, but just not knowing who the Supreme was, but approaching Him. And in two very dramatic cases that I know of, He led those worshippers to Krishna and became devotees of Krishna. So in the end, Mr. Ramakrishna was completely satisfied. How many children in this room are above the, are 12 years or older and less than 20? They know something's coming. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. And all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning, 4 a.m., till night, 10 p.m., by performing Mangalarti, Niranjan, Archana, Puja, Kirtan, Shingar, Bhoga Vaikali, Sandhya Arati, Patha. Who knows what Patha is? We'll come back to that. Oh, you must have heard Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Speaking. This is a very important item. Bhoga at night, Shayan Arati, etc. In other words, you can be fully engaged from morning to night. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householders to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge. And that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. So the basic idea is that the deity is actually the proprietor of the household. Well, he's the proprietor of everything, but in the context of householders who are worshipping at home, the deity is the proprietor of the house. I have been staying with a very nice householder couple. They have a Prasad Prabhu and a Ramali Dasi. And they engage in deity worship, you know, just like in the temple. You know, just like in the temple. And it's very purifying and enlightening. And, since I've been there, it's not unusual to have 10 visitors running around the house using the facilities. And so I asked Padma Malini Mataji that, how do you feel about having all these people all over your house? And she replied that, she's trying to develop the consciousness that it's not her house, that it's Radhagiri Dharma's house. So that's a very important step in spiritual life, to give up the false conception that we're the proprietors, which we all have. And so the deity, cultivating the consciousness that the deity is the proprietor of him, and the deity is the center, can be very, very helpful. Training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress toward the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo-spiritual master as a matter of business to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Now this is an allusion to a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto, which says that Guru Nasasya, no one should become a spiritual master or a father, or a mother, or a husband, or a superior relative, unless he can deliver his dependent from the repetition of birth and death. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying one shouldn't be, you know, one shouldn't become a spiritual master, and that's certainly true. But it's a responsibility that anyone has, you know, green necessity, pita necessity, no one should become a guru, no one should become a father, no one should become a mother, no one should become a husband, unless he can deliver his dependent from the repetition of birth and death. It's a very serious responsibility we have, you know, to get married, get children. And Srila Prabhupada says that one must discharge these duties very responsibly. And one can be liberated from the cycle of birth and death only if one becomes a true devotee. So the guru, the husband, the father, the mother, they should be pure devotees, become pure devotees, complete pure devotees, and train their dependence in that line. Pure devotee doesn't mean that you're necessarily completely self-realized or God-realized, but it means that you are engaging in the process of pure devotional service without any ulterior motive, just, you know, to please Krishna. And without any other engagement. But, you know, even the so-called ordinary activities in household life can be done in the spirit of pure devotional service. It doesn't mean that you can't work and earn, or, you know, go to school and study and qualify, but the consciousness has to be to please Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads, Srivigrahara Dada Nityanana Shingara Tanamandira Marjanado Yutasya Bhaktam Stadhyanja Toki Vande Guru Sri Sharanara Vindam. Srivigraha is the archa, or suitable worshipable form of the Lord, and the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringar, by proper decoration and dressing, as also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. A spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures. So what did I just read? This is like a little pop quiz. Srila Prabhupada begins this sentence, a very important sentence, that only by, and what? What did Srila Prabhupada say? Okay, I'll read it again. The next one's not going to be a pop quiz. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to ask you the same question. But it's not an open book test. So, don't look at your iPhones. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures. Okay, so this is leading to something. Only, so only, what's the first point?
Attention.
Yes. Attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially
dressing and decorating.
Yes. Dressing, decorating the deities, and kirtan.
Yes. Instructions.
Yes. Instructions from the scriptures. Okay, good. So what can these do? Only these things can do something. Only these things can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions. Now, if we thought they were hellish, they wouldn't attract us. But, unfortunately, we don't think they're hellish. And rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. Now, this is a little dated. But I know, like even in Juhu, in the early days in Juhu, you know, people would blare their radios. And not just in Juhu, but everywhere. They'd like blare their radios. And Srila Prabhupada said they want to show off that they have a radio. They want everyone to know they have a radio. So, but now we have, you know, much, much more insidious, secret ways of tuning into these hellish, demonic sources of whatever. But we can be saved from that by higher engagement in devotional service. That's the idea. And so deity worship gives us practical engagement, engages our senses, it engages our minds, and it can save us from all these degrading activities. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple, where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord, well-dressed and well-decorated sanctified temple, naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. And this is true there at the Potomac Temple, Baltimore Temple, Silver Spring. It's true. People should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? That's good. Today at the Institute House in Silver Spring, I met a person named Moses, who is in an African body. But anyway, even he's been to Vrindavan. He went to Vrindavan and really, really sort of touched me that he had. He just sort of knew, but he somehow got it in him to go to Vrindavan. Formerly, all rich men, like kings and rich merchants, constructed such temples under the direction of expert devotees of the Lord. like the six Goswamis. And it is the duty of the common man to take advantage of these temples and festivals observed in the holy places of pilgrimage by following in the footsteps of great devotees, Anuvraja. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind. But one must go to such temples and sanctified places immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and be guided by proper men who know the science. And there are many devotees, Sargat Bhagavad Gita Bandhu Prabhu, he's very often in Vrindavan and very eager to guide, take devotees, guide them. And then other senior devotees come with groups of devotees and they also go on Vikrama. One who does not move in that way is as good as a standing tree, condemned by the Lord not to move. The moving tendency of the human being is misused by visiting places for sightseeing. The best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas, and thereby not being misled by the atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters. So once in the Calcutta temple, Srila Prabhupada raised the question, what is the duty of the spiritual master and what is the duty of the disciple? And then he gave the answer. The duty of the spiritual master is to serve Krishna, and the duty of the disciple is to assist the spiritual master. And he related it to temple worship. He said, you know, the spiritual master installs the deity, so it's his duty to keep the temple room clean. But it's the duty of the disciples to assist the spiritual master, so they clean the temple floor. And that cleanliness is like so important. As Srila Prabhupada said, cleanliness is next to godliness. We accept that. And, many nice examples. I'm not sure if they're on schedule, but according to we have 2 minutes.
So after we finish, deities are ready to come.
Okay.
So when Chanda Kirtan, so when deity will come, then you give the name.
Okay. All right. So I'll end with an Indian joke. the culture in India is so religious that even the jokes are religious. But it also teaches us something about a certain type of mentality of making business with the deity. So this one devotee, So this one devotee, he went to the deity. And he prayed to the deity. He was going to bet on the horses. So he prayed to the deity, if I win a lakh of rupees, 100,000 rupees, I'll give you 50,000. So, he made this deal with the dealer, and then he bet on his horse. But the horse didn't place to win for him to win 100,000 rupees. He only won 50,000 rupees. So he went back to the deity and said, "Lord, you didn't trust me. You took your half first." Not only did they make business with the deity, they try to cheat the deity also. But we're not like that. So we can laugh with great abandon, because we don't do that. So, are there any questions or comments? I think the duties will be coming soon, but we can just chant until then. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.